Welcome to Heard at Heritage. Heard at Heritage features cutting-edge analysis and thought from leading experts in and across the conservative movement, as well as premier events and programming from the Heritage Foundation here in the heart of Washington, D.C., brought straight to you.
Hello, and welcome back to the Power Hour, the Heritage Foundation Center for Energy, Climate, and Environments podcast. I'm your host, Jack Spencer, and back with us again 2 weeks in a row, we have Sandra the intern. Sandra, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking.
I probably shouldn't call you Sandra the intern. Is that offensive? I don't mean it to be.
No, I mean, it's truthful, so.
What is your last name? I know you told me before, and I forget.
My last name is Scarlatiu.
I can't say that.
No,
Scarlatiu?
Okay. Yes.
Scarlatiu?
Yeah.
What kind of name is that? That's an interesting name.
It's Romanian.
Romanian. Did we talk about that the first time you were on here?
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or off the podcast, honestly.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah. I remember now that we did discuss that. And that's a great last name. I like that last name. I'm still going to call you Sandra the intern.
That's okay. I'm perfectly okay with that.
I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to because even though we can edit this, we don't need to start editing this early. Last time we talked, and every time we talk, I ask you if you've gotten to shoot any guns. Last time you teased us with the fact that you've been talking about maybe doing. Have you shot any guns?
I mean, what is it? My boyfriend recently got this single action revolver. I've never gotten to shoot a revolver before, so okay. I'm excited about taking that to the range.
Okay.
And of course, my dad's sizable collection of various different accoutrements.
You got to make it happen, Captain. Make that.
Yeah.
Go out and shoot that revolver and you get as many accoutrements. That sounds like a good day at the range.
Yeah. I mean, soon. It'll come around eventually.
What do I have going on? I'm still gardening. I have now engaged, starting last weekend, in a project to pave the pathways of my garden with pavers, with concrete pavers. I love laying concrete pavers. And too much of my yard already has pavers. And my wife and I, about a year ago, picked up about 250 square feet of pavers from Facebook Marketplace.
Oh.
And we used about 150 of them on a garden project, but it's not inside the garden. And every year we have problems keeping weeds down in the garden. We're always trying different things. So I just decided, I think, I'm going to pave it with our pavers because we had some extra ones. And so I'm not quite done that, but we'll hopefully this coming weekend, I'll finish that up. So I will report back to how the paving project is done, is going. That's what I've been up to. This year, until fishing, until it warms up a little bit and fishing comes back in and then turkey season comes in, I am gardening and garden-related stuff.
Do you hunt?
We haven't talked about that.
I don't think we have.
Oh, my God. We have a guest that we need to get to and a conversation to have. Yeah, that's why I'm here, so I can hunt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here. Like, that's why. Yes. All 90, I've not done an actual math equation, but let's call it around 90% of the red meat my family eats is deer that I've shot.
Oh, wow.
And a similar percentage of the fish we eat are fish that I caught.
Mm.
And 100% of the squirrels we eat are squirrels that I killed. Yeah, I like hunting. I have about 60 acres in West Virginia. It's about 5.5 hours from where I live that I go to. We will talk more about that in the future, I promise you.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
But we have a podcast to do here. All right. Now's a good time to do our housekeeping. Remind everyone that our email address is thepowerhour@heritage.org. That's thepowerhour@heritage.org. Email me. Send me your thoughts. Tell us if we're doing a good job, a bad job, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. All those sorts of things. Let me know. We'll do it, or at least we'll give it the old college try. Now, Sandra, let me ask you a question. What's your favorite kind of story? Love stories? Adventure stories? What kind of stories do you like?
Probably action, adventure kind of stories.
Okay. I like underdog stories. Stories like of David versus Goliath, Rudy, Rocky, Hoosiers. I also like stories about sticking it to the man. Fiction is good. I like Fight Club, One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But there are great stories like the American Founding, great people like Frederick Douglass. I even am interested in this context, well, in general, but I think it fits into this context. People like Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand, they're all sticking it to the man today. I love all that kind of stuff. Today, we're going to be talking to someone that is living out an underdog story. She is David, the federal government's Goliath. If the federal government is the man, then she's the working hard to stick it to him. There's something else that's special about today's podcast. We often have CEOs and organizational presidents and stuff like that, or my boss. We have people who've led major government agencies and other bureaucratic fancy pants. While I often like to make jokes about how we bring in absolutely the best people in the world, just to be serious for a moment, I'm actually very proud of the high-level people we get. But today's going to be a little bit different. Our guest today is not a titan of industry or a fancy pants bureaucrat. At least I don't know that she is. That's not why she's here. She is that. She's a real person that lives in a real community and is taking on a real fight. And she's here because of that email address I'm always asking people about. I'm always saying to let me know what you're thinking, to reach out and respond. Well, today is proof that I do that. Our guest is here because of an email that a listener sent to tell us about a fight that's going on. A fight out in the American West that involves a lot of the issues that we talk about here every week. It is with extreme excitement that I welcome to the Power Hour, Miss Diana Nielsen. Diana, welcome to the Power Hour.
Good afternoon.
I'm so glad you could be here. I hope that you agree that this is a David and Goliath story, that you're out there trying to stick it to the man.
Yes, this is a true David and Goliath story. The vastness most people can't understand, especially in the eastern states, because they don't have public land to speak of.
So tell us what is going on.
In the Magic Valley in Idaho, I don't know how many of your listeners have gone to Idaho for vacation to enjoy the wide open spaces. Well, the Magic Valley is a high plain desert, and it covers, I think, the second largest aquifer in the United States. It's called the Snake River Aquifer. The EPA has designated this aquifer as a sole source, and they're wanting to put 210,000 acres of wind turbines in the Magic Valley. Magic Valley encompasses 8 counties, and the wind turbine projects will directly be on 4 of the counties and affect all 8.
So what you're saying is there's a project out there that is going to essentially ruin much of what makes that part of the country that part of the country.
Yes, the Magic Valley is a magic valley. We have the Snake River Canyon that goes through there. We have Shoshone Falls, which is the Niagara of the West. We have Thousand Springs that pops out down around Hagerman. We have Wilson Butte, which was one of the first archaeological dig sites in the United States that confirmed humans existed on the Snake River Plain. It also is next to the Minidoka Historical Monument that, when I was growing up, I was told it was the Hunt Camp. Well, now it's the Minidoka National Historical Incarceration Monument, where the Japanese Americans were brought hundreds of miles and put on a desert plot of sagebrush.
So how does this planned project interfere with those things?
Well, to the east of Lava Ridge, you have Craters in the Moon National Park. Well, it's not a national park, it's a national monument. And that's where initially they tested space vehicles, because the volcanic is recent and it was very comparable to the surface of the moon.
Is that where they did the fake moon landing stuff? I'm just kidding.
I think so.
I don't really believe in the fake moon landing, and I'm sorry to have interjected nonsense into a serious issue, but I couldn't help myself.
Well, it's right next to the INL, the nuclear lab testing site.
Yeah.
Is just to the east of Craters of the Moon. So you have a nuclear testing site that was used by the military, and a lot of the technology for submarines was developed here in Idaho. A lot of the scientific technology for these batteries was developed in Idaho, right next to the Craters of the Moon. And then a little farther west, they have the Lava Ridge Wind Turbine Project, that they initially asked for 76,000 acres. And then just to the west of that, they have the Taurus Wind Turbine Project. That project has not been released to the public, and it's 58,000 acres of wind turbines.
So then to go ahead. I'm sorry. So what you're saying, and there's more.
Oh, yes. They're bringing these out piecemeal. So when there's 210,000 acres of public federal lands that are multiple use lands, and I overheard by your conversation that you're a hunter, these will affect multiple hunting units in Idaho, which is an income for Idaho. There's the Owenza Butte pronghorn antelope that come down. There is the mule deer from clear from Custer County, Butte County, Blaine County. Blaine County is where Sun Valley, Idaho is, to try and give people perspective where this area is. And that's all winter range and a migratorial path.
And so let's get into some of the details here. When you say they, like, who are the players here? Who wants to build this? How does the federal government and the Bureau of Land Management fit in? Sort of what are the different players that we're talking about?
Well, this has been a buildup. One of the things that really kicked it in was in 2005, the Clean Energy Act. And I can find studies that went from 2005 to 2016 that were by Argonne Labs for wind studies in these areas. And then they changed companies. And I always thought Argonne Lab was part of INL, the nuclear lab here in Idaho, but I didn't realize that it was based out of Chicago.
Yeah, they're separate labs, but yeah. Both with steep histories in nuclear energy, by the way. That's not the point.
That's not the point. I just was surprised that that was part of their data center that was used in this project. And this is a very unpopulated area. Like, Lava Ridge affects Lincoln County, Jerome County, and Minidoka County. Jerome County's total population is 25,000. And in Jerome County, there's several little towns. The biggest town's the town of Jerome with 12,500, with a 2.6% unemployment rate. Lincoln County, the whole county, and it's a big county, is population is 5,127. And the town of Shoshone in Lincoln County is kind of a bedroom community for Sun Valley and Blaine County. A lot of their domestic and ancillary workers that work in Blaine County, since they can't afford to live there, live in Shoshone and commute. They also commute from Dietrich, which is in Lincoln County, population 293, and Richfield, population 482.
So what you're saying essentially is BLM is leasing the land to companies to build solar and wind facilities that were subsidized through the 2005 Energy Policy Act.
Well,
and other so that's not the case?
Yes, that is involved. But then when you come into the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, that kicks everything up on steroids.
That's on steroids. And as I'm reading through, part of an increased bonus incentive is to place these projects in low-income communities. And on the draft EIS, they described the communities as a highly uneducated area.
So the whole thing irritates me, but something just struck me. What they're essentially doing is picking on sparsely populated communities where they think they won't get pushback because there's not enough people there. And it fits into their stupid bureaucratic conditions of being low income. And that's exactly what they're doing. They've chosen these places specifically because of the low population because they didn't think they would get popular pushback. Is that correct? What's going on here?
Yes, that's part of it. And a lot of these people don't have Wi-Fi. They don't take a local paper because there's really not a local paper. The local papers are like small and scattered, you know, who's having a yard sale and a little bit of news. But they're even if you get the main local paper from Twin Falls County, it comes in the mail. And when I heard about these projects on the news, it said out by Shoshone. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. you know, I wasn't really concerned. I didn't hear about this project until November of 2021 after the scoping time had closed. And so then I went on steroids trying to find people because I lived in Twin Falls County. And I was trying to find people in Jerome, Lincoln, and Minidoka County to band a group. And so some of us got together and I made petitions and I started with the Lava Ridge Project.
Dana, can I interrupt you real quick before we get, because the next question I was going to ask is what you're doing about it, but I want to just get a little bit of clarity first. So who is trying to build these facilities? Is it your local utility? Like, who are you fighting against? Is it you're trying to prevent BLM from giving the lease? Is it a BLM utility group that you're fighting? Just break down the sort of players for me real quick. Like, who's doing what? Where's the money coming from? That kind of thing.
Okay. The Lava Ridge Wind Turbine Project is a LS Power project.
And LS Power is your local utility. Is that right?
No. Oh. LS Power, when I looked them up, they're incorporated in Delaware and their attorneys are in New York and some of their offices are in Missouri. But they gave this project a new group called Magic Valley Energy. Kind of sounds like it's local, doesn't it?
Yeah, and fun.
Yeah. Well, Magic Valley Energy, you know, has their media specialist that's promoting this. And now they have done a group called Idaho Energy Freedom.
They're for my freedom. I like them.
Yeah. Idaho Energy Freedom.
I hate consultants so bad. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And they're a 501c3 educational group. So when you donate to them, you get an educational tax credit. Well, the one board member is an attorney that does a lot of environmental attorney stuff with the Idaho Power. And Idaho Power is one of the state utilities, is the state utility for this area. And the other board member is a realtor that goes and sells ranches and properties and finds ranches for these big companies to lease their farmland to for wind turbines and solar. Another board member is a Native American from Northern Idaho that also has a side job of solar properties and projects. Another member is a drone surveyor that helps find plot out for these companies to put in their projects. Another one is works for the local TV station. And there's another guy, I can't remember what he does, but it's quite a self-serving board with an attorney as the chairman. And then LS Power and through Magic Valley Energy also has hired lobbyists at our state level. And I'm not a political person. It wasn't until I started looking into this, I had no idea how much lobbying goes on and how expensive it is to try and fight these guys.
So let's summarize real quick. What you have is a group of well-funded lawyers, real estate people, energy people, special interests who are coming together to build these highly subsidized wind and solar projects that would not go anywhere if not for taxpayer support on BLM land that is going to ruin, in some cases, for lack of a better word, the multi-use capacity that is at the heart of our public land philosophy. And you're trying to fight it. Is that about right?
Yes. In the BLM's mission statement, they say that they're to manage the multi-use lands. And they are going to destroy 52 families, ranching families, grazing. And in their draft EIS, there's only one small paragraph for the ranchers that have grazing rights. And they've had meetings with them. And they're having another meeting in February with them. And they're promising them the sky that, you know, it's going to be so much better. Well, these guys have water rights on these private lands. Idaho still has, the feds haven't taken over our water rights. They're trying to. There just was a court case with a rancher and his water rights on federal land, but the state still has control, somewhat control, of our groundwater. And anyways, it will highly impact these grazers. They have a group called the RAC Committee, and that stands for Resource Advisory Council. So I started watching their Zoom meetings. And for Lava Ridge, they found a group of people that were called the Sub-RAC Committee for Lava Ridge. And one of them was a county commissioner from Lincoln County who was fine with this Taurus project. She was pro-project, which upset me. But, you know, she has her opinion. I have mine. And she thought it was going to help Lincoln County, because Lincoln County is a very poor, underserved, isolated area. And I can see where, they were promised the stars. Well, then we had a commissioner from Twin Falls County. That's the county I was living in. A commissioner from Jerome County, Minidoka County. We had a gentleman that was to represent the grazers and another gentleman to represent resources, recreational resources, and a lady that was a bat expert and a lady that has a lot to do with history and archaeological.
So this is the team that you're putting together to fight this?
No, this is the team that the BLM put together.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Then they had a 106 member from the Shoshone-Bannock tribe that is a biologist. So we went on field trips out there and observed. And anyways, to make a long story short, when it come down to vote whether this project should proceed, the Sub-RAC committee said, no, this is not the place or time for this project. Then the county commissioners, we started pushing them to sign resolutions against this. So we had all of the counties that were involved directly with Lava Ridge, Jerome, Lincoln, and Minidoka counties, all signed resolutions against this. And then Twin Falls County drew in, even though they're not affected by Lava Ridge, Gooding County, which is affected by Taurus, that is a Revia Power out of California project. And then Salmon Falls is a project in Twin Falls County. So those four county commissioners plus an adjacent county got together and signed a joint resolution against any of these projects.
So it sounds like you have a fairly broad coalition built against this thing.
We do. And we have a Facebook page called Stop Lava Ridge. We had to kind of put a governor on it because we had a lot of trolls and sleuths coming in. And you have to be careful when you're David not to let Goliath know the angles you're trying to approach this stuff. Well, at the same time, there was people that were getting silenced or not allowed to speak their mind. So then we had another group form in Idaho Against Industrial Wind and Solar. So those are the two Facebook groups that have started. And
what else have you all been doing there on the ground? And why aren't they listening to you? And all of these groups that are coming together, like, what do they say when you engage with them and are like, look, nobody wants this. Why are you doing this? How do they respond? Are they responsive at all? Tell me a little bit about that piece of it.
Well, any of the government employees are silenced. They're not allowed to say they're against it or for it. So they've been silenced. And these people have to live there. And they know how upset the community is. And anyway, our voices are being heard and we're being patted on the head. And even at the state legislative level, we had the House resolution last year presented between our House and senators to stop these projects. Unanimously, it was voted bipartisan to a no action. And that was one of the choices of on Lava Ridge. There was no action and then A, B, C, D, and E. And they unanimously, bipartisanly voted no action, no build. So I also went and spoke before the committees for energy at the legislation the same day that LS Power put on their presentation for it. And it was pretty interesting because they talked almost the whole time and they had people hired to come in and sit before the legislation committees. And at the end of their presentation, they said, you know, who's all for this? Stand up. And all these people stood up. And then who's against it? And some of us stood up, but I wasn't hired to be there. I was there because, and the poor guy sitting next to me, really nice young man, he was there because he was hired to be there. He wanted the job. And that company was out of Utah. It just... And some of the speakers that were against Laveridge, the room was so overfull that they had to sit and watch it virtually on a screen. So one of the speakers, it was her turn to speak. I had to scoot out of that building and go catch her, you know, in the end, find her, so that she could come in and tell her story and her opinion of the project. And she has land adjacent to the project.
Yeah, it's so annoying. I hear stories like this all the time and have seen it. I've seen it time and again where these organized efforts to overcome public sentiment are so well put together. They're like well-oiled machines. And they know to get to these hearings on time. They know to flood the field with their people. They give everyone the talking points. So, you know, you have just folks who are opposed to something based on common sense reasons who weren't trained to publicly communicate such things, going up against these greater numbers, polished folks. And it's just unfair. And it's so unseemly. The whole thing is unseemly. Yet it continues to go on. Let me ask you this. What are the chances you have of killing this thing? Like, seems like there's strong support for it. Where do things currently stand, I guess? And are you optimistic or pessimistic? Talk us through that a little bit.
Well, kind of waxes and wanes day to day. With the Osage tribe in Oklahoma, where the judge ruled that they had violated mineral rights and that by digging and reusing the aggregate that they take to build these wind turbines is a form of mining. Because if you do mining, you have to have reclamation and all different types of permits, and you have to have Idaho permits. And so I don't know if that's going to be an angle that we can get this postponed or stopped. The Clean Energy Act expires in 2025, but the Inflation Reduction Act, I don't know if it has extended it to 2026. I don't understand a lot of it, but they're using part of the Mining Act, because when you look up the reference to it, it's talking about minerals, oil, and gas. And as you read through it, they're adding wind and solar to it. So I don't know. I'm not an attorney and I'm not very good with the legal aspects of this, but as far as the grazers, they've had to hire their own attorney, even though Magic Valley Energy says that they've got a range manager specialist. He's paid by them to come in and try and sway these guys. And they're saying, well, we'll put up new fencing and we'll, you know, the fences are there and the ranchers have to put them in and maintain them. The Laveridge area is not desertous like a lot of people think it is. There's all kinds of springs, reservoirs. They've got wells drilled with water rights. There's the North Side Canal that delivers water to like Gooding, Idaho. Sorry, you guys probably aren't familiar, but there's all of these in the draft EIS. They're calling them riverettes and riverines when they're actually canals, laterals, ditches, and some wetlands. There's no creeks out there because it's a highly porous area. And the canal company actually uses part of this desert as recharge for the aquifer. And they also have a hydro plant on the one canal that utilizes the gravity to produce this clean energy as the water is being delivered to farmers and ranchers across the valley. And our Idaho Power just decreased the reimbursement rate for rooftop solar and small hydro projects. And it doesn't make sense that they're decreasing the little projects that don't impact the wildlife, but yet we have these huge projects that want to reap the wind and sun and send it to other states.
Yeah, I think that you made an important point earlier. We touched on it a little bit. Is that it? So much of it emanates from these subsidies in the IRA and previous legislation. And that's one of the things that's so frustrating to me. I would actually be more sympathetic to the green folks if they were building stuff and it was there was a strong economic argument for it. And, you know, and certainly if they were building it on private land, I'm less sympathetic on BLM. But at least if there was a strong economic argument for it, then I think through the leasing process, you can justify the use of BLM land. But whenever it's just all subsidy driven and there are all these other ramifications that will result, I'm totally with you. I mean, it's just unbelievable that folks like you are having to fight this in order to protect your community. It's really abhorrent. Let me, as we sort of bring our conversation to a close, I'd like to know a couple of things. Whether or not you're optimistic or pessimistic, and maybe you said that earlier when you said it sort of ebbs and flows, but you know, where does this end? And also, what can people do? Is there anything that people can do who are concerned about this and want to help you out?
Everybody, not everybody, but the people that are concerned, they need to write to our congressmen, the senators and the House that have the purse strings. Right now, we've been told that choice on whether Lava Ridge, Taurus, and Salmon Falls is a go will come from Deb Haaland, the Secretary of Department of Interior. And
let me interrupt real quick. Do you know what time frame that will be?
Well, they sent out this was supposed to be done already. They were supposed to be working in 2024. And in late spring of 2024, the final EIS is going to be released. I don't know what late spring is. I've heard April and I've heard May through the grapevine. And in the summer of 2024, the record of decision will be made. And on top of this, they've reopened the Gateway West and the Westwide transmission projects. And I thought those projects were killed back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it gets so complicated because a bunch of the environmental groups sued the government over the Gateway West and Westwide transmission lines. Well, then I find where they settled out of court. The Equal Access to Justice paid all of these environmental groups that have not raised their voice against this.
Mm-hmm.
The Nature Conservancy, they put a little scoping letter in, but it was about as weak as light beer. I mean, it's, again, the Idaho Conservation Group, nothing. Very weak, weak letters, scoping letters against this. Ducks Unlimited said they wouldn't get involved. Elk Foundation won't get involved. Sierra Club never answered my emails or my phone calls. Western Watershed Projects, well, they're against grazing, so they don't care if the ranchers lose their job. But they're supposed to protect wildlife, and they haven't. You know, they won't back us. I mean, I have all of these groups that are supposed to be protecting the wildlife and free, unadulterated land, and no one will step up. Friends of Minidoka have stepped up and have a good following with the Japanese American. The Coalition to Protect Our National States and Parks did an excellent scoping letter. It was like several pages long, very thorough, had every act and policy that they're violating. It was a really good scoping letter, and I've used that for reference multiple times. The NEPA process, I don't think, has been very good. In reading in the draft EIS, you can't use the people that are making the reports, like the soil report, can't refer to the plant report that they themselves did. I mean, you can't use yourself as your own professional reference.
Yeah, so what we're seeing is the bureaucracy basically using all its tricks to push this thing through.
I think you say omnibus bill. It was over 2,000 pages. It was more pages than the Bible. And as you would read through it, then they would refer you back to another section.
Yeah.
And it was just overwhelming. But again, I'm one of those people that I'm kind of masochistic on these lessons of futility. They said initially that the wind turbines would be as tall as 740 feet. But then I went into the FAA report and it can't be. It can't be that tall. And when I found the FAA application, it wasn't like this stuff is really close to a little airport in Dietrich. Mm-hmm. And it's really close to a pretty big airport, big for Idaho, in Jerome County, that is used as an emergency landing spot for flights that can't land other places or if there's an airplane problem. They used the town as the base town of Dietrich with a population of 293 as the location. It's just crazy that they don't pick a county seat or the nearest airport to do a FAA report. The little tiny airport at Dietrich is just a little dirt runway. It's not a true airport, but they chose Dietrich to list it.
Diana, we're coming to the close of our conversation. So what I'd like to close up is you gave people a sense of what they could do to help. Is there anything that we need to know that you missed just real quick that we should know if we want to get more engaged in this?
Well, on Facebook, there's Stop Lava Ridge, the Facebook page, Stop Lava Ridge. And there's also Friends of Minidoka. If this is a go, it's going to end up in court.
Can you spell that for the Friends of Minidoka? Can you spell Minidoka for us?
Yes. Minidoka. And it's the Friends of Minidoka.
All right. That's the last word, Diana. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us your story. Thank you to everyone who took some time out of your day to listen to the Power Hour. And please, if you enjoyed the podcast, as always, tell your friends, family, and colleagues to check us out. Email me at thepowerhour@heritage.org. Tell me what you thought of this podcast, other podcasts, future podcasts. I want to know it all, and we will respond. Now, Diana, you mentioned the Facebook page. Is that the best place for people to reach out to you if they would like to learn more or ask you any follow-up questions? Is that the best place to reach out to you?
Yes, the Stop Lava Ridge page. We did have to hire an attorney to help us go through a comment letter for the draft EIS. There was like 13,000 letters sent in. Anyways, that's probably the place to start is the Stop Lava Ridge. They have a small web page, but again, everybody is volunteer and a lot of people aren't computer literate.
Yeah.
This isn't their thing and they're not media people, just like me.
Well, you did a fine job today. And I want to thank you again for being a guest.
And thank you. I was afraid I couldn't talk this long, but I have a lot more to say.
Well, that's all you got on my podcast. But that doesn't mean we can't have you on again. In all seriousness, thank you so much for being a guest today. And most importantly, thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next time.